this and the motives. All variation of this and the motives. All variation of this and the motives. All variation of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Tasyano Charitam Rapajan, Vishnu Stuttgart,
Shrutam Varnitam Bhuri, Tvaya Sita Patira Bhuri. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe his activities only in brief. Please listen. And there's a nice, interesting purport here by Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada says, modern Rakshasas, Ravana, of course, although he has been mentioned yet, but he is famous as being Rakshapati, or the leader of the Rakshasas, man-eaters, and in all respects really this very horrible, violent, and very terrible people. So Prabhupada says here, modern righteousness, posing as educationally advanced, merely because they have doctrines, have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by Tathagatas, those who know the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enlightens. Tatpanipanipatena Arikashmika Sevaya Upadesha Vite Jnana Jnanasta Padarshanama. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire for him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul will impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is Tatpadarshan, in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes, Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imaginations, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Shukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, "You've already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra." Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayanas, or histories, of Lord Ramachandra's activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by Tattva Darshanas, Jnanas Tattva Darshanas, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctrine. This is a warning by Shukadeva Goswami, Rishabhis Tattva Darshanas. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadeva Goswami in a few verses. So there are a number, or at least a couple of very important lessons to learn from that report. The first is that materialistic scholars, current-day materialistic scholars who may be very expert in the Sanskrit language, but are not engaged in the process of devotional service and do not appreciate the process of devotional service for what it is. So they may write their own commentaries, or just in different ways make their own comments about what is Ramayana, or who is Lord Rama. and what are his activities. And because they're not qualified spiritually, in fact, they are very much disqualified. Very unfortunate situation, actually. So, even though they may write many words, but undoubtedly and inevitably, so much of what they say, even if maybe all of what they say in many cases, but so much at least of what they say, will be speculative. And not at all authoritative. So, of course, one of the opinions that so many, practically all of them, at least many, many of them, are very fond of, is that Mortimer, despite being described in the various literatures as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, such as in these couple of verses we've just been reading now. So even though the clears are like that, the statements in the verses are like that, but they're very fond of denying these statements and in various speculative ways attacking the position of Mortimer and trying to drag him down to their level of being just somewhat reasonable. In fact, in many, many cases, they'll try to drag him down to the position of being simply some mythological fairy tale personality of absolutely no real substance at all. So all these types of ideas presented by modern materialistic intellectuals, they are to be completely avoided, totally avoided, as a complete waste of time. Even worse than that, something dangerous. Then, actually, Prabhupada the third one mentions another category, the sentimentalists, who may, like Lord Brahma, they may not be antagonistic to him. They may be fond of Lord Brahma in different ways, but these different ways are essentially sentimental. Just like one of our devotees once put on a production of Ramayana here in Chatsworth at one theatre or hall. And he told me that afterwards, that during that production, there was a very dramatic scene, which I think we all, many of us may have seen ourselves here at the table, in which Lord Rama leaves home and Dasarath dies as a result. So it's a very emotional type of scene. So, at the end, one gentleman was walking out and he was very moved, even practically crying. He came up to that devotee and said, that scene of the departure of Rama and dying of Dasarath, it was very touching, very wonderful, amazing. He said, actually, I can understand the position of Dasarath. He said, I also have a son who lived home. So this is what we call sentiment. It may be nice in a certain sense, at least he likes and has some appreciation for Lord Ram and his pastimes. But it is not real. It's not to be taken seriously. Of course, when such things happen in the material world, in terms of being a perverted reflection, there may be some comparison may be drawn. But that comparison is not some sort of a very real comparison. It's just illustrating perhaps the principle of separation, that spiritual separation can get to some material separation, then completely different thinkings. And if one thinks that actually the same thing, and therefore one is able to appreciate the feelings of Dasaratha or the feelings of Radha or Krishna, and so on and so forth, then one is actually sadly mistaken. And through identifying the material phenomena for those spiritual pastimes, through trying to draw that very direct comparison, one will actually be losing the opportunity to, of course it takes time, but at least to eventually come to some more real type of spiritual understanding and realization. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, without exactly saying it in so many words, but he does say it really, he says that even though there are many books based on the pastimes of Gaudiya in different ways, but he's saying we should only, if we're going to read something about Gaudiya, we should only read Valmiki Ramayana. And even, of course, there are many versions of Valmiki Ramayana, factors that no one knows, unfortunately. And many of them conflict with each other in certain respects. So in a certain sense, we're even safer, really, just sticking with this, even though it's not a brief description, but very nice description, given in Srila Bhagavatam. Yes. But if we were to point to any particular more extensive version of the pastimes of Lord Ram, then we would only take the Valmiki Ramayana, and any others that they pass as Ramayanas, or they're just different compilations about Lord Ram. No, we don't accept those. Whatever they mean, even if they're written by persons who, in popular traditions, popular Hindu traditions, may be accepted in those traditions to be very important. Their books may be very important, but no, we don't accept those, and we don't utilize those. If we were to utilize anything, it would be Valmiki Ramayana. But even ultimately, the version given in Srila Bhagavatam we know is totally orientated in every respect. So, therefore, ultimately, we are really the safest just with that. So let us continue, yes. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramachandra immediately gave up the position of king and, accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuma, king of the monkeys, or by another monkey, Sugriva, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshmi, both of whom gave him relief from the fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Suparnika, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows, and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that supreme Lord, Ramachandra, give us all protection. In the arena of sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramachandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas, and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. made Lord Ramachandra to kill these demons in the presence of Lakshmi be kind enough to give us protection. This is an interesting point in two verses, one immediately after the other. Srila Shukadeva Goswami, the author of Srimad Bhagavatam, the speaker of this greatest of all literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. So he appeals to Lord Ramachandra that you please protect us. That includes us also. Yes, it includes all of us who are here in the audience. So Shukadeva Goswami, he's a very great personality. We may pray to the Supreme Lord that our capacity for invoking the mercy of the Supreme Lord, that may well be doubtful. Certainly, at the least, it is not as great as the capacity of some very exalted devotee as Shukadeva Goswami, who is directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, when he is praying for our protection, and twice he's doing that, so we can understand that that will be in action by his mercy. That will be. So he's very kind in that way. Okay. The pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramachandra bent and struggled and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugar cane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune, who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home, after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parasuram. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a Kshatriya of the royal order. So how does one incarnation of God defeat another? Well, in this case, Parashuram is a Kshatriya Vishnavata. He's a Jiva soul, actually, empowered by the actual Vishnu Tattva, and Lord Ram is the actual Vishnu Tattva, the bestower of that potency. So therefore Lord Ram is in a position to assert himself above Parasuram. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residents, and everything else, just as the liberated soul gives up his life, and went to the forest with Sita. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted the life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramachandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kala, Trishila, and Dusha. So, of course, another interesting point here is that Shukadeva Goswami has already mentioned the disfiguring of Shurmanaka. He's already mentioned and mentioned her by name. But here, he's mentioning it again. So this is a very important pastime of Lord Ravana's. Yeah. She is the sister of Lord Ravana. So she is, in her own way, a very important demon, a very important person. So this particular pastime of having those ears cut off, this is bullshit. Who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita. His mind was agitated by lusty desires, and he went to Kidnapper to distract Lord Ramachandra from his ashram. Ramana sent Ramicha in the form of a golden deer, and when Lord Ramachandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it, and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramachandra entered the forest and Lakshman was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of the Deva. Just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshman, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus, he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. So there's a quite lengthy purport here, actually, upon that. There's really a little bit of that purport. In this verse, the words Sri Sangina Gatim Iti indicate that the condition of a person attached to women was shown by the Lord Himself. According to moral instructions, Grihe Dare Pivarja 8, when one goes on a tour, one should not bring his wife. Formerly, men used to travel without conveyances, but still, as far as possible, when one leaves home, one should not take his wife with him. Especially if one is in such a condition as Lord Ramachandra, when banished by the order of his father. Whether in the forest or at home, if one is attached to women, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his personal example. Of course, this is the material side of Sri Sangi, but the situation of Lord Ramachandra is spiritual, for he does not belong to the material world. Narayana Paramya Tat. Narayana is beyond the material creation. Because he is the creator of the material world, he is not subject to the conditions of the material world. The separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita is spiritually understood as Vipralanga, which is an activity of the lavani potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, belonging to the Shikrarasa, the mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the dealings of love, display the symptoms called Sattvika, Sanchari, Vila, Murcha, and Upada. Thus, when Lord Ramachandra was separated from Sita, all these spiritual symptoms were manifested. So that is the important point. And yes. And Srila Prabhupada, the book goes on to say, quote, actually, Skanda Purana, as quoted by Bhattacharya, is a series of verses which explains that the Sita who was kidnapped was not the original Sita, but was a minor Sita. So that, of course, is a bit of a long story, but that is also there. That is a very important point. Otherwise, how could Ravana, who is just an ordinary, not ordinary exactly, but he's certainly on the material platform in his own rather remarkable way and very outstanding amongst the materialists, but still he's on the material platform. He's not on the spiritual platform. He's not empowered spiritually, where she is the primeval, internal potency of the Lord, superior energy. So how can the superior energy be imposed upon by some small creature from within the purview of material nature? That's not really possible. Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ramana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing the Bali, and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramachandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exerted its pastimes of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramachandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him. Falling at the Lord's lotus feet, the personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of Ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ramana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying of the three worlds. He is the son of Vishnu, but is condemned like you. Please go and kill him, and thus regain your wife, Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings of the future will glorify you. I wonder if someone could just find out what time it is. Shukadeva Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean, by throwing into the water the leaves of mountains, whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of the monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Shukadeva from the clutches of Ramana. With the direction and help of Vibhisha, Ramana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, leader of Ramana, entered Ramana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. After entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers led by chiefs, like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of the pigeons. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshman and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandhavada, Nila, Andhra, Jambavan, and Palasa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons, like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishis, shakti arrows, kadgas, and tomahawks. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that the soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers,
and proceeded toward Gauravachandra to sell the effulgent chariot owned by Vatali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Rama struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the bandits. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble the dog. For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his tip downs, fell from his earplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly heavens, when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Bhaktavagri, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka, continuously crying. They approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas, striking their breasts in affliction because their husbands had been killed by the arrows of Lakshmi. The women embraced their respective husbands and cried piteously in voices appealing to everyone. "O my Lord, O Master, you have utilized trouble for others, and therefore you are called Ravana." Mandogri, the chief wife of Ravana. "But now that you have been defeated, we also are defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to a state, having been killed by Lord Ramachandra." She is Ramachandra. 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 She is Ramach